Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're going exploring a brand new programming language that's been causing quite a stir lately.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a lot of buzz.
It's called Galaxy. And one of the things that makes it so fascinating is how it takes the idea of biomimicry to a whole new level.
Really does.
So we're not just talking about, like, you know, drawing inspiration from nature.
Yay.
We're talking about actually incorporating natural patterns and structures directly into the code itself.
Absolutely.
So instead of your typical lines of code, imagine a program that's structured like an actual galaxy.
Wow, yeah.
With elements like the golden ratio and Fibonacci sequences woven right in.
It's amazing how they've managed to do that.
So I'm really curious to hear more about this.
Yeah.
How do these natural patterns actually manifest in the code?
Well, one of the key ways is in how the nodes are distributed within the program.
Okay. Nodes.
Yeah, so you see, Galaxy is built around this idea of interconnected nodes.
Like a network.
Exactly. And the golden ratio is used to determine where these nodes are placed relative to each other.
Hmm. Interesting.
So it's not just about making the code look pretty, though there is a certain visual appeal to it.
Right.
The golden ratio actually helps to create a more spatially efficient and harmonious system.
So it's like it has functional implications as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's not just aesthetics.
No, not at all. Think of it like building a city. If you just place buildings randomly, you might end up with all sorts of problems, traffic jams, wasted space.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But if you use a structured approach, like incorporating the golden ratio, you can optimize the flow of traffic, make better use of the available space.
Create a more harmonious system overall.
Precisely. And that same principle applies to Galaxy.
Okay, I'm starting to get the big picture here, but let's zoom in a bit.
Sure.
We've got these interconnected nodes, but what exactly are they?
Right, so each node is like a mini processor, a little hub of activity.
Okay.
And they're all instances of this thing called the Galactic Node class.
Galactic Node class, got it.
Now, I don't want to get too bogged down in the technical jargon here.
No worries, keep it high level.
But just imagine each node as having its own unique ID and a value that determines its sort of energy within the system.
So it's like each node has its own personality and level of influence.
That's a great way to put it. And the key here is that these nodes are all interconnected.
Right, we talked about that.
Yeah, so each node has a list of connections to other nodes, and these connections have weights, which determine the strength of the relationship between them.
So it's not just about who's connected to whom, but how strong those connections are.
Exactly. And this is where things get really interesting.
Ooh, I love when things get interesting.
Because these weights can actually change dynamically.
They can.
Yeah, based on the flow of beta and the learning process. It's kind of like how our brains strengthen or weaken synapses as we learn and adapt.
That's starting to sound a lot like neural networks and AI to me.
You're right on the money. That's one of the big reasons why Galaxy is generating so much excitement, especially in fields like AI and complex system simulation.
Okay, I definitely want to delve a bit deeper into that.
Yeah, let's do it.
But first, can we just like step back for a second and talk about what makes Galaxy so well suited for handling these complex systems in the first place?
Sure. So for starters, this whole node-centric design allows for natural, organic growth and evolution of the system.
Okay, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, so you can start with a small cluster of nodes and then based on the rules you define, they can connect, interact, and the whole galaxy can expand organically.
So it's not like traditional programming where you have to lay everything out in advance.
Right. It's more about setting the stage and letting the system evolve.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And because the nodes are inherently interconnected,
yeah,
Galaxy is perfect for modeling systems with lots of interacting parts, right?
Exactly. Like neural networks, distributed computer systems, or even social networks.
Mm. You know, it's funny you mentioned social networks because when you were describing how information flows through the nodes,
it
really reminded me of how things spread on social media.
It's a very apt analogy. You've hit on something really important there, the idea that Galaxy essentially mirrors the kind of interconnectedness we see in the real world.
It's like it's reflecting the underlying structure of reality.
In a way, yes. And that brings us to a fascinating parallel with the theory you might find interesting.
Oh, lay it on me.
Have you ever heard of Chris Langan's cognitive theoretic model of the universe?
The CTMU.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard the name, but to be honest, it always seemed a bit, you know,
out there.
Yeah, kind of. How does it relate to Galaxy?
Well, the CTMU proposes this idea that the universe itself is like a giant self-processing language.
Okay, I can kind of see where you're going with this.
Where everything is interconnected and information is fundamental.
Yeah,
And if you think about it, galaxy structure with its interconnected nodes and data flow, it shares some intriguing similarities with this concept.
So you're saying that galaxy, in a way, reflects some of the core principles of the CTMU.
I think so, yes. And that connection, it adds a whole other layer of depth to what galaxy could potentially achieve.
That's pretty mind-blowing.
It is, isn't it?
I mean, we've gone from talking about programming to the nature of reality in, like, what, 10 minutes?
Uh-huh. That's the beauty of deep dives.
This is all incredibly fascinating, and I'm sure our listeners are starting to see the possibilities here. But before we get too deep into the philosophical stuff, let's shift gears a bit and talk about some of the practical applications of galaxy.
Sounds good.
What can this language actually do in the real world?
You bet. Well, you mentioned earlier that galaxy's been generating a lot of buzz, particularly in fields like AI and machine learning.
Yeah, exactly.
What makes it so well suited for these areas?
That's what I'm really curious about.
One of galaxy's biggest strengths is its ability to model these complex systems with tons of interacting components.
Okay, I can see how that would be useful for something like AI.
Yeah, think about machine learning, for example. You need algorithms that can handle massive amounts of data. Find patterns, make predictions.
Right.
Galaxy's interconnected nodes and those dynamic weights we were talking about, they're perfect for that.
Can you give us a concrete example of how this might work in practice?
Sure. Imagine you're building a system to recognize images, like different types of flowers.
Okay.
So you feed the system thousands of images, each one tagged with the correct flower name.
Okay.
Like, this is a rose, this is a daisy, and so on.
Yeah, I got you.
As the system processes these images, the connections between those nodes start to adjust.
Interesting.
Basically, the system is learning the patterns that distinguish one type of flower from another.
So it's like the system is building its own internal map of what each flower looks like.
That's a great way to put it. And because galaxy's structure is so flexible, these systems can actually evolve over time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They get better and better at their tasks as they encounter more and more data.
That's incredible. It's like they're developing their own expertise, right?
In a way, they are. And that's what makes Galaxy so powerful for AI. It's not just about programming a set of rules. It's about creating systems that can learn, adapt, and even surprise us.
It all comes back to that idea of mimicking the natural world, doesn't it?
It really does. Nature has been using evolutionary processes to solve problems for billions of years.
Right.
And Galaxy, in its own way, is tapping into that same power.
Okay, but AI and machine learning aren't the only areas where Galaxy can be applied, right?
Nope, not at all.
You also mentioned complex system simulation.
That's right.
What sorts of systems can we model with this language?
Oh, the possibilities are vast. Think about systems with a ton of interconnected parts, all influencing each other.
Okay.
Social networks, ecosystems, even global weather patterns.
Wow, that's a wide range.
Galaxy's node-based structure gives us a framework for understanding how those systems work.
Interesting.
And how they might respond to different events or changes.
So you could use Galaxy to simulate, say, the spread of information on social media.
Exactly.
Or maybe the impact of climate change on a particular ecosystem.
Precisely. You can create models that capture those key interactions, the feedback loops within the system.
Right.
And then you can run simulations to explore all sorts of different possibilities.
That's amazing. It sounds like an incredibly powerful tool for understanding complex phenomena.
It really is.
And for making informed decisions based on those simulations.
Absolutely.
I mean, from what we've discussed so far, Galaxy seems incredibly versatile.
It's fair, Massa.
You can use it to build AI systems, simulate complex processes, even model spatial relationships using the golden ratio.
It's quite remarkable.
Are there any limitations to what this language can do?
That's a great question. And of course, every tool has its limits.
Right.
Galaxy's still in its early stages of development.
Okay, so it's still evolving itself.
You could say that.
So what are some of the challenges that still need to be addressed?
Well, one of the big ones is just getting people up to speed.
You mean like a learning curve for developers?
Yeah, exactly. It takes time to wrap your head around new concepts, new syntax.
Makes sense.
Building a strong community of users, creating good documentation.
Right. Making the language more accessible.
Exactly. That's going to be crucial for Galaxy to really take off.
I see.
And then there's the issue of computational resources.
Okay.
Simulating complex systems, especially as the number of nodes grows.
Yeah.
That can require a lot of computing power.
That makes sense.
Finding ways to optimize performance and make those simulations more efficient is going to be an ongoing challenge.
Those are all important considerations. But Even with those challenges in mind, it seems like Galaxy has the potential to really revolutionize the way we think about programming.
I agree. It's a bold step forward, and it's really exciting to think about where this language might go in the future.
Speaking of the future, there's one more aspect of Galaxy that I want to make sure we touch on.
Okay, what's that?
It's this concept of evolution within the code itself.
Yes.
It's a mind-boggling idea, and I'm dying to hear more about it.
It's definitely one of the most fascinating and potentially transformative aspects of Galaxy.
All right, you've officially piqued my curiosity.
Good.
Let's dive into this world of evolving code.
Let's do it.
What are the key ingredients that make this possible within Galaxy?
Just like in biological evolution, you need a few key elements: variation, selection, and reproduction.
Okay. I'm trying to wrap my head around this whole idea of code evolving.
It's a big shift from how we usually think about programming, for sure.
Can you break those elements down a bit further?
Absolutely. Okay, so let's take those three elements, variation, selection, and reproduction, and see how they actually work in Galaxy's evolutionary process.
Yeah, break it down for me.
So imagine you have this network of nodes, right?
Okay.
The system can introduce these little tiny random changes to the code.
Like mutations.
Exactly. Maybe a node's activation value, its energy level, basically gets bumped up or down a bit. Or the strength of the connection between two nodes changes slightly.
So those are the variations.
Exactly. Now, obviously, not every variation is going to be an improvement.
Right. Some could make things worse.
Exactly. That's where the selection part comes in.
So how do we figure out which variations are the good ones?
We use something called a fitness function.
A fitness function.
Yeah, think of it like a test to see how well each configuration of those nodes is performing.
So, like, if we're talking about a neural network that's supposed to identify images, the fitness function would be measuring how accurately it's labeling those images.
You got it. The better it's doing, the higher its fitness score.
Okay, makes sense.
And then here comes the reproduction part.
Okay, hit me with it.
The configurations that have those higher fitness scores.
The ones that are doing well.
Exactly. They're more likely to get copied, and parts of their code might get combined.
Ooh, interesting.
To create those new variations for the next generation.
So it's kind of like taking the best parts of the code and using them as building blocks.
Precisely. And of course, there's still that element of randomness, those random mutations happening.
Right, to keep things interesting.
To explore new possibilities. And this whole cycle, it just repeats over and over: variation, selection, reproduction.
Survival of the fittest, but for code.
You got it. And what's amazing is that with this approach, the system is learning and adapting on its own.
We don't have to micromanage every single step.
Nope. And that lets us tackle problems that would have been way too complex before.
You set the goal, and the system figures out the best way to get there.
Exactly. You mentioned that this whole Evolve Galaxy method is still under development, but even the fact that it's being worked on suggests some pretty big ambitions, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. What are some of the ways you think this evolutionary approach could be used in the real world?
I mean, the possibilities are immense. Imagine optimizing traffic flow in a busy city.
Okay, yeah.
Instead of trying to program every traffic light manually,
right,
you could let an evolutionary algorithm figure out the most efficient patterns.
Wow, that's a cool idea.
Or think about designing a robot that needs to navigate a really unpredictable environment.
Okay.
With evolutionary programming, it could learn and adapt on the fly.
Constantly optimizing its movements.
Precisely. And it goes way beyond those practical applications, I think. It also raises some really deep questions.
Like what?
About things like intelligence, creativity, maybe even consciousness.
Whoa, okay, you're gonna have to elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, if we can create systems that can learn, adapt, and solve problems like that, it really makes you question our assumptions about intelligence, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, is it really something that's unique to humans?
Okay.
Or could it arise from simpler systems if you have the right rules and interaction?
So it's almost like we're blurring the line between natural and artificial intelligence.
Exactly. And then there's the question of creativity, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
If these systems can come up with solutions that we never even thought of, doesn't that suggest some level of creativity?
That's a really interesting point. And I guess the biggest question of all is, could these systems actually become conscious?
That's the big one, right?
I mean, it sounds like science fiction, but it doesn't feel so far-fetched anymore.
It definitely blurs the lines. But it's not just theoretical anymore, you know? These are real questions we need to consider as we develop this technology.
For sure. Well, we've covered an incredible amount of ground in this deep dive.
Yeah.
From the nuts and bolts of Galaxy's structure.
Yeah.
to these huge philosophical questions about the nature of intelligence and consciousness.
It's been quite a journey.
It really has. And honestly, I think our listeners are going to need some time to process all of this.
I don't blame them.
So to wrap things up, let's leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay.
We've seen how a language like galaxy, inspired by the structure of the universe, might help us solve incredibly complex problems.
Yeah.
But maybe the most profound implication of all this is, could the act of creating and interacting with these systems actually help us understand ourselves better?
That's a great question.
Help us understand our place in the cosmos.
It's definitely something to think about.
Food for thought as we step out of this deep dive and back into the real world.
Indeed.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.